morning to you.
Yeah, great to talk to you.
Good. I sort of filled people in on your background. That sounds like it was a terrifying situation with Porter.
It was a really terrifying situation. You know, at the time, like most parents, I had no idea what was happening, and we also had no idea how it would unfold. So it was definitely the most frightening experience I've ever had in my life.
Now, how old was he when he had these vaccines?
He was 4 months old. He'd been born totally normal and healthy, my second child, and went in, you know, as perky as ever, into the doctor's office and had a number of vaccines, as is often given in one well baby visit, and seemed fine. We put him to bed that night, and then, as you said in the opening, we were awoken to a horrible scream, a scream that sounded like an animal caught in a trap. I mean, just, you never want to hear that noise. And he was unconscious, and we rushed him to the hospital, and that's where the whole change in our life started.
Wow. Now, you have a PhD in neuropsychology.
I do.
Did you have this before all this happened, or did this...
No. What was interesting is I was doing my doctoral studies. I was actually a National Institute of Health pre-doctoral fellow, so very entrenched in science. I was working, my research was in the medical school at University of Minnesota, my advisor, a neurologist. And those things actually came to bear in a really helpful way, in a synchronicity way, where it felt very, very lucky. The neurologist that I worked for was one of the people that really guided me in thinking about this process and helping me understand there was a lot of research out there on the link between the shot my son got, the pertussis shot, and brain injury in some children.
So it was specifically the pertussis vaccine, which is whooping cough, I believe.
That's correct. It's the P and the DPT. And both, if you end up getting the illness and get very, very sick, you can end up with a brain infection. But some children also develop that brain infection from the vaccine itself, and that's what happened to my son.
Wow. How often does that happen? Is it a very rare occurrence, or is it happening?
It is a rare occurrence, and anyone interested in understanding more about side effects, including the one that my son had, the CDC, Centers for Disease Control, has a table online you can look up today that has all the vaccines your child is given and all of the side effects that may come from those, including brain infection, death, whatever the case might be. And you can see it on there. They say it's about 1 in 300,000 children are rendered permanently brain damaged. Many more have a reaction, but my son's effect is fairly rare.
Hmm. And so what were the long-term ramifications of that event?
Oh, my gosh, I could talk to you about that on a family level, on a social level, on a health level for my son. From the standpoint of Porter, you know, we thought he was out of the woods coming out of the hospital. They thought maybe he just had a bad reaction, a bad event. But 2 weeks later, as I'm getting ready for school, he stopped breathing. I mean, turned totally blue and almost died. The paramedics came in and revived him, and he had another seizure. And that started a whole trajectory that continues to today, that he has intractable or uncontrolled seizures. He has them every week. He wears a helmet.
Wow.
He has developmental delays, and he has autism. In the course of all of these things, and I really want to reach out with love, support, and prayer to any family going through this, the toll on the family, on the marriage, on the siblings is really hard to express. It's exhausting on every level, including physically exhausting, as caregivers out there know. And very sadly, my marriage broke up during this period. The other children really struggled. I mean, it was a brutal period getting through the youngest years with Porter.
And is there really strong evidence that it was the vaccine that caused all of this?
Yeah, you know, in my case, I consider us lucky on a lot of levels. There's something out there called the National Vaccine Injury Court. It's a brick and mortar court in Washington, D.C., for set up and overseen by federal judges for the children that are damaged or killed by vaccines. A lot of people don't know about this. We pay for this court system with a little tax on our vaccines, and if your child has a side effect, you can file a claim in this court if it meets the criteria, which you can see online. It's supposed to be a six-month process where their doctors, their lawyers, looks at all the evidence and says whether or not your child was injured. In reality, it took us about 8 years to get through the court, but yes, the government has acknowledged he was permanently brain damaged. He has autism, seizures, mental retardation from his vaccine. We went through the entire vetting process, and they pay for all of his medical care. And there's about 5,000 other people out there who have also won their cases in this court.
Wow. Let me ask you two questions. Unfortunately, we're kind of running out of time.
Sure.
But one of them is how many vaccines are given to the average child, say, by the time they're 8?
Yeah, I may get that statistic wrong right off the top of my head, but what's jumping to my mind by the time they're just 2.5 with the well baby is somewhere in the neighborhood of 40 to 50 vaccines. And I contrast that, you know, to anyone who's a parent. When you were a child, you probably got 8 vaccines. So there's continually new ones coming out. And one of the pieces we need to think about is each vaccine doesn't just have the protective medicine in it that it should for that illness. It also has a lot of additives that are cumulative that your child gets. So it really is worth looking at the number of vaccines your child is getting and when they get them.
The other thing is involved with autism and the autism spectrum disorder.
Yes.
How many actually are ending up with being diagnosed with autism?
Yeah, the CDC says today that 1 in 60 children has autism, and I contrast that to the 1970s when it was 1 in 10,000. Hmm. And I'll just tell you, as someone who studied genetics can only change about 1% in 100 years, so clearly something environmental, and vaccines are likely one piece of it. Many other things may be a piece of it, pesticides, different things that are in the environment have to be part of what's going on, because it cannot simply be genetics changing that much.
Well, something we certainly ought to be looking at and doing something about, because that's a
big yes.
Well, where can people find more information? Where can they get your book?
Thank you so much. If people want to find information about vaccine injury in the court, they can go online, Google the CDC and vaccine court. My book can be found at a website, abadreaction.com, or we have a Facebook page also, of course, Amazon too. Love to hear from anyone who's listening and had a similar experience.
Well, wonderful. Sarah Bridges, thank you so much for being with us. And we thank you for sharing your story and that of Porter and all the information you gave us.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity. I enjoyed it.
My pleasure.